Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new to our podcast or you're an avid listener, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two. All right, we're going to kick this episode off with our segment called Girlfriend Check-In. And today we're pulling a question from the We're Not Really Strangers conversation starter game. And I'm pretty sure we've asked and answered this question before, but life be changing. So we both actually have new answers. So the question is, what lesson took you the longest to unlearn? And Miosha, I'm going to have you go first.
Yeah, so I would say this is a lesson that I feel like I've learned, but it's still a work in progress. And it's that I don't have to always be so independent. I feel like part of it is just being a Black woman in America, the way I was raised, circumstances, you know, there was a lot of indoctrination of kind of knowing that you have to lean inwards and on yourself to get things done. And I think a lot of it was, you know, given to me from a place of like protection and making sure that I'm good, because you, for the most part, can try to control your own actions and how hard you're working on something. But I feel like I have made a lot of progress in asking for help, letting people help me, I guess, giving responsibilities to other people and feeling comfortable about it and not antsy. So that's one thing where I feel like when I was first kind of unlearning how to not be so independent, I would be like, oh yeah, you can help me, but still be really anxious. Like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. Oh, I need to take over and do it. But I've noticed in the last 2 years, like, if someone's helping me with something or I'm going to let them do it, I just let them do it. But there are moments where I do find myself just being like, oh, I'll just do it myself. Oh, I'm not going to ask for help. And thankfully, I do have a good support system around me where they're like, hey, Miosha, don't feel the type of way about asking for help. Like, you don't have to do this all by yourself. I think the most recent, I guess, eye opener for me that let me know like, oh, this is still a work in progress was becoming a mom. I feel like a lot of, especially in the early days where you're the one who births the baby. So a lot of it is on you, especially if you're breastfeeding, but I kind of had in my mind, like, it's all on me. It's all on me.
You did.
but you know, my spouse and other people around me are like, no, we're here to help you. Just tag us in. So that let me know like, okay, you've made some progress, but girl, you still have some work to do.
Yeah, no, that's true. I remember being 17 and someone being like, wow, you really don't like people helping you. And like, for me, it was a thing where I knew I had it. Like, I didn't need the help. So why are you trying to help me when I don't need your help? But like, when that person said that, it did give me a lot of pause. And I'm like, man, maybe I don't like asking for help. So yeah, I think it's something that we just have to keep unlearning and keep like trusting people and their expertise and their gifts and their talents and that they'll be able to get something done. But yeah, the spirit of, I know I could do it a little bit better or I could depend on me to get it done when and how I want it done, like, is really strong.
You know, I do wonder if this is one of the ways we like subconsciously connected, because I feel like that's something that we both have in common. And, you know, in the early days of us being friends, I think we could just tell certain things about each other, like, oh, if they say that they're going to do something, they're going to do it. If they're going to be there, they're going to be there. Very dependable. So maybe that was like me seeking a piece of myself in you and vice versa. I don't know.
I could definitely see that for sure. Okay, so my lesson that I'm unlearning is just because you're somebody's friend or just because you're loyal to somebody, that doesn't mean that they're loyal to you. And I'm unlearning this. Interestingly, I have a younger niece who's also learning this. Like, sometimes you're so loyal to a friend and you have to come to terms with the fact that they're not loyal to you in that same way, or they're not loyal to you in that same way anymore. Perhaps they were at one point and they're just not anymore. And I think for me, it takes a lot because I think we've said it on the podcast before, like we're team, like no divorce. As far as our friendship goes, there will always be an iteration of our friendship because we both put work into it and we're both like just committed to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think with the people who are the closest to me, I have that mindset. And I felt comfortable having that because I don't have many people who are that close to mm-hmm. me. And so I was like, okay, the few people, the less than a handful of people who I have on that roster, surely we'll be able to like manage it. But I'm really having a hard time letting go of the way a situation used to be and the fact that it's not still that way. And I can sense in myself that I am prepared to let it go to a large extent. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just like battling with, oh, should I feel like I'm okay with letting it go? Like, is that wrong? Am I giving up? But yeah, so I feel like I have unlearned it. Now I just have to like put that unlearning into practice. So still a work in progress.
Yeah, that's hard though, especially when you take your friendships and close connections seriously. Mm-hmm. And when you're willing to give a lot of grace and understanding, you just feel like, oh, we can always reinvent this or come back from this.
Yes.
But that's not always the case.
Yeah. And I'm realizing, because that's what I expected, like initially when I saw this start to crumble, I'm like, oh, we can reinvent this. We can, you know, it'll be fine. And one of my friends, this is when we first became friends. So I was like, this girl thinks she knows me. She don't know me. But she said, I've realized you like to make excuses for people. And she's very, not blunt, but she can be direct and just say, mm-hmm. I've realized this about you. And I don't want to say that has haunted me since then, but as of late, I have been going back to it. Like, she was right all those years ago. And she's right now. Like, I am making excuses where I shouldn't. And another part of me that I think is causing me to do that is I don't want, like, there are people who aren't going to hear my side of whatever is going down. Mm-hmm. And I just have to be okay with the fact that they're not going to know it. And I can't care what conclusions they've drawn about me based on not knowing why I've moved or why I'm moving the way that I'm moving. Mm-hmm. I just have to be okay with that. And so mm-hmm. that's like the newest level that I'm trying to get past in this period.
Yeah, because they're going to feel how they feel and it's not on you to go explain that.
Yeah.
To every single person that exactly. they're evolving and things change.
I don't owe them. Like, they're not in relationship with me. So it's mm-hmm. like, why do I care what they think? And, you know, based on half truths, like, so yeah. Yeah. That's what I am unlearning. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but you know, the point of Girlfriends and Goals is to talk about just how we're evolving as women. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the last few months has been a huge part of me and my journey into womanhood. It's just unlearning this whole loyalty thing and this, mm-hmm. oh, if we're in it now, we have to be in it forever. Like mm-hmm. there's a reason why married couples are the ones who get divorced just because they're married. Like, you're not married to your friends. That's not to say don't have that type of commitment. Like, I don't drop my friends like that. But yeah, I guess I'm not married to my friends. Yeah. And I need to realize that, especially when there's someone who's showing signs that this relationship ain't what it used to be.
Yeah. And speaking of marriage.
I know. Yes. So we're actually talking today about cohabitation and or shacking up. So we found this Pew Research report from 2019. So it's talking about some of the reasons why people decide to cohabit and whatever findings they were able to discover on marriage and cohabitation in the US. So this is a few years old, 2019, mm-hmm. we're in 2022, but we just wanna go through a few of these and talk about it and just give our own perspectives on the idea of living together and what the expectations are with that. Is it going into marriage? Is it not going into marriage? What are the pros and the cons? So we're really excited for this conversation and hope that you guys will enjoy it as well. So the first thing that they found was a larger share of adults have cohabited than have been married in the US. Was that surprising to you?
That is surprising to me.
Really?
Yeah. I'm surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't find it surprising just because I do think younger people, it is becoming more common. Like people mm-hmm. are just living together out of convenience or whatever reasons, but I didn't find that too surprising. I'm like, okay, I would expect some type of shift in that.
I would have expected it to be more 50-50. I mean, you are the people around you in terms of like your experiences and what you're exposed to. I feel like maybe about half of the people I know, they've just lived together and then the other half are married.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Well, the second thing that they found, and we'll probably stay here just a little bit more, is most Americans, 69% to be exact, say cohabitation is acceptable even if a couple doesn't plan to get married. Now, I'm interested in your perspective on this. Keep in mind, this whole episode is just our thoughts, like mm-hmm. about ourselves and our lives and just in general. If you want to do whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do. It really is not a big deal.
do you, boo-boo.
Right. It's just an interesting conversation. So yeah, based on that second finding, for you personally, like, would cohabiting be something you would do if there wasn't an intention to marry?
I say no, probably not. It's not something that I would do. And I know for me, I just, one, wasn't raised to even really think that that was an option. Like growing up, the majority of people around me, they were married and then lived together from my knowledge. I do have one example though that I found out about after the fact where I thought that they were married, but they weren't, and it was shocking. But the other reason too is, I don't know, it just isn't appealing to me that I would, I don't know, move in with someone and it's temporary. So you're like kind of merging lives. Not to say that like I'm super materialistic, but I think a lot of times when you do move in with someone, you kind of go through the process of rationing down because you don't need sometimes doubles of everything. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to do that for something that could be done tomorrow or 5 years from now.
Yeah. And I wonder if those people, even if they don't have the intention of like marriage, but if they go in thinking, oh, this is going to be my lifelong partner, like, I wonder what the mindset is with that.
Yeah, I know for me, I did live with my now spouse before mm-hmm. I got married, but the intent to be married was there, like the wedding was pending, and okay. it was from a perspective of just logistics and slowly merging our lives together, over time, but the wedding was already in motion. But yeah, if it wasn't, I wouldn't have mm-hmm. moved in with that person.
Yeah.
What about you?
You know, so it isn't something that I would do if there wasn't an intention to marry. Mm-hmm. We might get to this later, but it probably isn't something I would do even if there was an intention to get married. But that's for like several reasons. But like mm-hmm. you said, like sometimes you're just not raised where it's like, okay, that's the thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that's the case for me, especially growing up in a religious household. Like, and that's not to say everybody who grows up in a religious household sticks to that. But for me, yeah. I just happen to, you know, like It worked for me. So that's something that I did. But yeah, I just wouldn't. But that doesn't mean that there aren't benefits to doing it. So like you said, logistics, and this is already in motion. So if someone else were to do it, there wouldn't be a thing of, ooh, you ain't supposed to do, you know, it's not that serious. But I would want to be like, okay, like, where do you see this? If it were my girlfriend, I would want to be like, hey, where do you see this going? Is the partner on the same page as you? Because I want to make sure like we're not picking up pieces later on. And if we have to, at the end of the day, we will. But, you know, just to put it on the radar, like, hey, maybe prevent something that you don't want to happen from happening.
Yeah. Earlier, I mentioned that I wasn't like raised to see that as an option. But I referenced that I found out about a family member through another family member that I thought had been married over 30 plus years. And or about that time. You know, I just assumed like, oh, they had already been married even before I got on this earth. And I found out later, closer to when I was an adult, that they hadn't even been married half of that, maybe. They were just living together for a long time. And I just remember being so shocked, like, what? Not y'all not being married.
I know.
And living together, and not from like a judgmental standpoint. It was just so surprising because, you know, it's like, okay, well, people date, they get married, then they live together, then they have kids. And so to have that like outlier, or it was brought to my attention, I guess they had no reason to tell me because I wasn't alive. I just made the assumption.
Like, it was none of your business.
It really was.
Oh, man. So on the research findings, the third thing that they had was that married adults have higher levels of relationship satisfaction and trust than those living with a partner. And I'm curious, why do you think that is?
So I could definitely see why this is the case. One, I think if you're married, you're probably more likely to have conversations to ensure that you're aligned on goals, your vision, what you're trying to accomplish, the things you want to get done together separately. But I think there may be just more groundwork there that's been done so that maybe there's more satisfaction when you are living together. You feel this sense of stability and maybe peace because you're in alignment. And then also just having maybe more skin in the game, I guess. You know, dissolving a marriage does take more work and action. And so there may be more motivation there while you're in it, especially most people, I think, go into marriage for it to be forever, not like, oh, I only want to be married for 10 years. So you go into it thinking, okay, this is a person I want to be with the rest of my life. So there's motivation to be happy, make it work, get on the same page, because this is supposed to be your forever. So I'd envision that that's just naturally more motivation. So while you're in it, hopefully you're more satisfied so that it can stand the test of time.
You know what I think, like reading this question, I think sometimes, and I do hate to say this, but marriage gives people sometimes like a false sense of peace. Like sometimes it's valid, right? Let me put that out there. But so much so that you think everything is good. And so you're more willing to like put that trust than in a lot of cases you should be, or in some cases you should be. And so this wasn't a surprising thing to me at all, because I do think that sometimes when people have that ring, you know, like it's like, oh, okay, well, I've been chosen and I'm the one, and a lot of times they overlook red flags because this commitment is there, you know? Whereas like we've heard the people who are like, oh, but he comes home to me, you know, like you might be out there doing X, Y, Z, but he comes home to me. And it's like, yeah, you feel satisfied in that. And I guess a little bit of a sense of security because you have this commitment to this person, but that doesn't always mean that that's a good or a healthy situation. So I don't know, this didn't surprise me at all, but I do think overall commitment is a big deal. And so having made a commitment to somebody else and having someone make a commitment to you, I do think naturally is something that brings satisfaction and trust. Like, you took it upon yourself to join a life with me. Of course, there's some level of trust there because you let me in that way.
Yeah. And just, I think your day to day with that person, if you don't see, like, you know how people would be like, divorce isn't an option. And so I'm not saying that it always works, but they may be more likely to say, okay, we have these issues and problems. We're together.
Yeah.
Let's try to put our best foot forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does make you like want to work on things maybe a little bit more, like, because like you said, it's not as easy to be like, okay, we're out. There's a whole process. And in that process, there's a lot of back and forth, like, oh, maybe things will be better, or, oh, maybe this can be resolved. And so, yeah, I can definitely see how that's the case.
Yeah. So I'm sure we've all had these conversations with our friends or family where someone's like, oh girl, don't move in with him if you don't have that ring or on your hand. But also on the other side, they'll say things like, oh, you shouldn't marry someone that you haven't lived with. Mm-hmm. Two very opposite things. So which one of those conversations have you had with your girlfriends you feel like more frequently, or you feel like is more common advice that you've heard?
You know, I think as of late, I think I've been hearing that you don't want to move in with somebody you don't want to marry someone until you've lived with them. I've been hearing that a lot, not necessarily with my like girlfriends, but with people in general who I am in contact with. Mm-hmm. I was actually traveling recently and I was talking about this with a man who's like a middle-aged man, and that's, he's like, I think that's insane. Like, why would you go and marry someone and you haven't lived with them and this, that, and the other? And I think there's a lot of risk there. Like, what is it, a trial run? That to me is not the most appealing thing. Like, oh, let's do a trial run and see, especially when it comes to something like marriage. But also, like, as far as my girlfriend go, I did have someone who was considering that. And who was like, I just cannot see myself moving forward with this person if I don't know like how they operate day to day. And I don't know how I feel about that. I think there will always be surprises. Like, even if you've lived with someone for a year, like after that year and as people get more and more comfortable, there will still be surprises. But I can understand like trying to not have all the surprises at once. So yeah, I don't know. Where do you stand with that? I'm still deciding.
Yeah, so I've heard it on both sides. I feel like in my earlier 20s, I heard more of the advice of, oh, you know, don't move in unless you have a ring, mainly because I think from a protection standpoint, they don't want you to be strung along and wasting your good years, which that's solid advice.
Yeah.
Not to say that women have bad years in their 30s, but
that's what older people, you know, at least when, well, I guess I'm still in my 20s, but like when we're in our younger 20s, that's just what older generations see it as. So yeah, I don't think anybody's going to take offense to you saying that, because that's literally how a lot of older people talk.
Oh yeah, because they have your life on a timeline as well of things that you should be accomplishing. But yeah, I feel like as of lately, I have heard more women just saying like, oh, you know, I don't want to take that step. And I just think because of our age, late 20s, early 30s, I think we just want to get it done once and not have to do it again when it could be what they feel is as simple as like giving it a trial run to make sure before they take that next step. As far as my girlfriends though, I feel like it's split. You know, I have some girlfriends who are like, oh, definitely living with a guy because why even open that door? And then, you know, I'm already in a marriage, you know, and maybe I don't want to be once I've lived with them. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, it's like, oh no, I'd rather just tackle that journey of living together once we're already married. So I feel like it's kind of 50-50.
Which side where do you feel I land, I fall on?
Huh?
No, because you say like your girlfriends are split. Which side do you feel like I fall on?
I think you would, your number one preference would be to move in with the person, you know, shortly after marriage or right around the time of the wedding, I'd assume. But I think if your hand was forced from like a logistical standpoint, I think you would do what was practical and not just to check a box if it was just short timing.
I love how you give me credit, because sometimes I feel like I am not practical at all. Like sometimes I do have an idea of this is how things should be. And I do like, despite practicality sometimes, you're like, no. Nope.
I think you are like that, definitely day to day. But I think when you're in the midst of something and not talking about just like something like far out in the future, but like it's in your face today. Mm-hmm. I think logic may take over or have more weight in that moment. But I don't know. I'm still on the fence. I don't know. I feel like when people give the advice of, oh, well, don't move in with him if you don't have the ring, I understand it. However, at the same time, I'm like, well, if he don't want to marry you, he's not going to ask you to marry him. You know, I have seen people where they've moved in together within a short period of time. They're married. They've been married for a very long time. So I've seen it on both sides. I understand the advice. But at the same time, it's like, if it's to save you from him wasting your time, I think it's good in that, okay, maybe you don't have to disrupt your life too much. You could just move on if you haven't moved in. Easily move on.
Interesting. So when we talk about the idea of like a trial run, it reminds me of Married at First Sight, which we are reviewing on our YouTube channel, y'all. So go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're at like 740 subscribers right now, and we're trying to get to 1,000. We have been trying to get to 1,000 for the last several months. So go ahead and give us a little subscribe, you know, help us out. But yeah, it does remind me of that. And like you even see on that show, even though those people are literally married, some of them come in treating it like a trial run. And I don't know how beneficial that is just from watching that show.
I think in their case, it somewhat makes sense because they literally are just meeting their spouse. Like it's an arranged marriage.
Yeah. They're
just meeting them. And I think from a practicality standpoint, it is a trial run. But I think for the rest of us who don't get married that way, you know, not everyone will be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I do. I think there's some pros and cons on both sides.
Yeah. I do wonder though, if you are approaching it as, okay, well, this is a trial run. We're either gonna work or break up. Is there something that you already see that's like questionable? I mean, I don't know that we have those answers, but I think it is like an individual thing, right? But it's just a question that I might have.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it just depends on the people in the situation, because you can see where it works out on both sides. Mm-hmm. I think if you've been dating a person, especially long distance, you may just want a deeper look under the hood to verify everything you've been told and what you've been able to see from afar. You know, so yeah, I think it just depends on the people. And many of us go into dating situations with the best version of ourselves on display, and that's natural. And then over time, you know, the layers peel back. Yeah. And for some people, they just feel more comfortable committing to someone within the parameters of a marriage by taking the time, I guess, to do a trial run just to be sure. Because you do hear their stories where some people are able to uphold their representative for a significant for a long time. And it isn't until they move in with them that they really start to uncover some things. So
it is a risk either way, I think. Love, I think, and marriage are risky things. So if marriage is the goal, right, what do you think are the pros and cons of living together before?
So the one, I guess I kind of just mentioned, it was just a deeper look, just to make sure that what you've been presented is what is actually going on with that person. And I think, you know, if you are the person where maybe you recognize certain things in yourself, I don't know if I want to say that maybe you're a difficult person to live with or whatever, but I think even from the, for both people going in, they're probably going to learn a lot about themselves in that process. And I've even heard people say like, oh, well, I've lived with a person and that kind of told me like, I don't know if like marriage or long-term commitment or living with someone is something that I'm interested in doing. Like, yeah, I don't mind dating, but I've just decided like, hey, I'm just going to be single and date and maintain my own space. Kind of reminds me of Dr. Pepper on Married at First Sight, who lives separately from her husband.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's something you would discover in the process of living with someone, and then you wouldn't have to go through a divorce. And then I say a con is either person, could be the man or the woman, but I would say more so the woman, because you're in the position of being proposed to. You know, we don't support women out here proposing to men.
we don't, but
somebody does. But maybe just not being on the same timeline. I feel like some women find themselves, as you mentioned earlier, maybe living with someone and they're not on the same page. Maybe one person doesn't want to get married at all, or they want to get married 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot of pressure of you being in this like waiting position. And then you've already moved in. And so the barrier is higher for you to kind of remove yourself from that person's life. Yeah. Not impossible, but it is disruptive having to move. So...
you know, I'm thinking back on you saying like in your younger 20s, you hear the whole don't move in with them unless you have a ring. And then in your older older years, I hate calling 30s older years, because what? But in your not so young years, like not in your 20s, I think it's different. You know, I think it's because sometimes you can be gullible at those ages, like the 20, the 21, I do think, you know, sometimes people tend to be gullible at those ages. So maybe that's just the advice that people like give as a blanket statement, like, oh, don't do this, as a way to watch out for you and just give you the time to mature a lot more before making a decision that could disrupt your life in the future, could affect your mental health, could affect your finances, maybe, you know, that's a big deal. And then just, yeah, your overall state of being. So I think that could be the difference between the two. But anyway, I was just thinking back on that. But the pros and cons of living together, if the intention is marriage, I do think a con is like just being comfortable. Like, okay, we're here, we're doing the day-to-day, we're, you know, experiencing the mundane. Who really got time to plan this wedding, and who got time to do this? And, you know, so I do think it can, like complacency can seep in just a little bit sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so you really do have to be very diligent about, you know, getting to the wedding. A pro is, of course, seeing how the other person lives. And I think one important thing with that is that you're really just seeing what you need to manage with how the other person lives. So if you guys know that you are getting married already and this, that, and the other, you're just thinking, okay, what do I need to manage? What do I need to say? Hey, I'm uncomfortable with you leaving this in the sink or leaving this like that. And, or I need to get over how I feel about dishes being out of the sink 24/7. Like, you know, like some people who can't stand a fork being in the sink. It's like, either I need to communicate that I do not want forks in the sink, or I need to be okay if there's just one fork, as long as it's not an overwhelming amount. So yeah, I think it really does help you manage, you know, living with the other person. I think a con, and this just depends, but I do want to give attention to it. So there might be people who are like celibate and or abstinent. And so there is obviously a con if that's something that you're trying to maintain until you're married. I do think that that could be an obstacle to that greater goal, especially if there isn't a date in mind or there isn't. So I think that's something that needs to be considered as well.
Yeah. One other con that I thought of that in terms of, I don't know if it's advice or warning that I've heard other women give is, yes, you know, like get the ring before you move in, but just encouraging young women to maybe steer clear of moving in with a man because there may be certain expectations of you being the woman of the house in terms of like domestic responsibility. So you kind of agreeing to take on more and settling into certain roles where, you know, marriage isn't present. And because maybe you haven't talked about marriage or you're not married yet, you maybe haven't delved into those conversations about, okay, well, what will our like responsibilities and roles be? Because it could just be a casual thing of like, oh, we're just living together. And maybe you have had those conversations, but I have heard the advice of like, oh girl, pump your brakes, you know. You may be stepping into way more domestic responsibilities than maybe you necessarily want at that time. Yeah.
And that brings me to another thing. So this is actually another like huge one for me. Sharing space. So this is just me and how I feel. And I realize that it could also have to do with me, you know, like sharing space with siblings and things like that. But space is a big, it's a big deal to share space. I feel like if I'm gonna do the whole marriage thing and we're gonna be together for the rest of our lives and that's our goal, I need to be enjoying this time where I'm not sharing space with anybody. And I feel very strongly about that. I think because I have like shared space with a sibling or two at times in my life. And I just, it's such a short period of time. Like if you're married for say 30 years, 40 years, those 20, 30 years or whatever that you weren't married and that you had the chance to just be on your own. Honestly, not even 20, 30, because people leave the house at 18 and then really only get like maybe 10, 12, 10 to 15 or so years maybe to themselves. So I just feel like you need to soak up all the time that you can without sharing a space with an individual as possible before moving into that. So I would say that is a con. If we know we're going to get married already at some point, let me enjoy my space for as long as I can. And I can move in day after the wedding when I'm required to do so.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually have a friend who's the exact opposite too, where they just prefer to live with other people, whether it's a roommate or another family member. Like they just enjoy, I don't know if it's that sense of family or togetherness.
Companionship.
In different forms. Doesn't have to be like a significant other, but yeah, they express that to me. I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle where I appreciated my time where I live with family. Appreciated my time when I was single. And it was a significant amount of years where I lived by myself. And I'm like, okay, I'm in the season of being married now. And it has its pros too, of living with a person.
So. Yeah, but this season lasts forever, according to your
God willing.
And so, and so like, I don't know, I just feel like cherish the time that you have. I know right now I'm very big on enjoying each moment, like each position that I'm occupying at that particular time, because a lot of times those positions are short lived. And so I think that also plays into why I'm like, oh, enjoy your spaces, because I'm really being intentional about enjoying the present.
Each season that you have, whether it's before you have children, before you get married, before you start school, like enjoy that season, because even if you circle back, it won't be
the same.
What it is.
And so I want to make sure like what I'm saying is clear. I think I find value in living with people and having that companionship. It's just for me and where I am, I want to make sure like I'm very present and engaged in this particular time and space in my life because mm-hmm. it will be short-lived.
Yeah. So if marriage is not the goal,
mm-hmm.
what do you think are some pros and cons of living together?
Convenience, I think financial reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the main two that I can think about. And companionship, like how you just mentioned your friend. I think mm-hmm. that's a big one too, especially during the pandemic. Like so many people who lived on their own were like, man, I miss that like human interaction. Mm-hmm. And so I think like now, if these numbers skyrocket, like after the pandemic, I would not be surprised because that's a big thing. Like you're going day to day without like touching anybody and like mm-hmm. having anybody like hug you and be warm with you physically. Like it's just, I can see how it can take a toll on people. So yeah, mm-hmm. companionship, finances, and convenience, I think are the pros of that.
Yeah.
The cons, if it is like a significant other situation, maybe uncertainty, like maybe one person starts to want more before the other person has, or like if there isn't that commitment, the easiness or the how easy it is to pack up and leave and then be in a situation where you have to recover, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a huge risk to take.
Yeah, I will say that is part of a pro that I have in that there's a lot of flexibility there. There's less responsibility for most people when they get married. You know, yes, you're living together, but you're also assuming a certain level, typically of responsibility for kind of looking out for the other person, being there, you know, if they need you for anything.
Hmm.
Versus I think for some people when they're technically still single, if anything happens to them, I think sometimes the expectation is like, okay, your parents or siblings or someone else will kind of step up to make sure that you're good because technically you're not married.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know, man. So I feel like that would be some real cold stuff.
Well, not even from like a cold standpoint, just mm-hmm. like certain decisions have to be made. I mean, if you're not family and you don't have certain documents in place, you don't have rights.
Speaking of which, I think there was a question on here. I don't want to like have to find it now, but mm-hmm. Where I was saying several Americans are against people who cohabit, like having the same rights as a married couple. Do you have any thoughts about that?
People are against unmarried people having the same rights as married people?
Yeah, like as far as making decisions and stuff like that.
Well, I would say, I think there should be some level of differentiation. Otherwise, everyone's in the same pot. So I think it can just kind of get confusing because yes, marriage is love and all those things, but a lot of it is, I don't want to say a business, but there's just there's another side to marriage where it's not about the love and the feelings and even just the commitment. So I would say, I don't know if I'm against it, mm-hmm. but for the people who want to have certain rights and protections, I think you should, if you're in a long-term partnership, maybe you just go to a lawyer and you take those extra steps to mm-hmm. have things and documentation in place so that you can have certain rights. I mean, these things are possible. I think people just don't seek it out and follow through because it can get expensive versus just getting married. So it's like, oh, we have to develop all this paperwork and stuff. That's different from a marriage certificate when you could just kind of get this done in one signing.
Yeah.
So in closing, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on, I guess, people purchasing homes or properties, mm-hmm. even though they're not married yet? So it's a romantic couple. This is not a business relationship, but they're essentially going into a pretty big contract together. So
I don't think I would do it. I'm very risk averse. And I think it would have to be like, okay, we're closing today and our wedding's tomorrow. Or like we're closing the day after the wedding or something like that. Like I do think it is a very risky thing. And so I don't want to like say a blanket, no, nobody should ever do that.
Mm.
But I understand the risk and I would be very like, I don't think it's a risk I would take.
I don't understand it. I can't say that, oh, I wouldn't do it, because technically I did. We closed on our first house, like, I think a week or two before our wedding. But yeah, I don't think I would go into purchasing a property just with someone I'm dating, just on a whim, just because I'm like, this just seems like it could get messy.
Yeah.
And when I want to sell my house and do whatever, like, it just, for me, would make sense to have those conversations with a spouse, which, you know, people who get divorced already have sometimes complicated situations trying to settle assets. So I could only imagine what that conversation would be like with someone that you're not even married to.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning to this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. You've heard our thoughts on this topic. We had a lot, but we definitely want to hear yours as well. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye. Oh,